Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. COVID-19 is surging across the DMV and across the country. Once again, the lights of Broadway in New York are dark, hospitals are filling up, testing sight lines, and infection rates are growing. Whatever is happening very, very fast. Joining me to put this in perspective is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. If you have any comments, if you have questions, and I'm sure you do, give us a call right now. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Tuckson, thank you so much for joining the conversation. I appreciate you joining us on such short notice.
Thank you.
I wanted to say we were originally going to talk about holiday glam and how to make sure that you looked your best when you were going to attend any parties. But the reality is that we could not be responsible in talking about that kind of thing when we're seeing the kind of numbers that we are seeing in D.C. right now, indeed, in our region. 844 cases just today, 508 cases in the District of Columbia yesterday. Do you believe that the lack of a definitive mask mandate by the Bowser administration may have anything whatsoever to do with the kind of numbers that we are seeing in the District of Columbia, or was this just something that was just bound to happen anyway, mask or not?
Well, I wouldn't put this on the feet of the mayor and the administration, but I would certainly say that it didn't help. And I think that what we've got to realize now that anyone in any walk of life who is giving you a rational human being a message that suggests that in the middle of this flurry of infectious cases, that it would be okay not to wear a mask, and particularly not to wear a mask indoors. That information, that guidance will get you killed, or certainly can contribute to it. And so I would urge you strongly, use common sense. We now have seen with the NFL, Harold, as you are well aware, that even in environments where they are so tightly controlled, that we are seeing this incredible spread as athletes are bringing the virus from outside into the quarters of their training facilities, of their football facilities, and then it is spreading like wildfire inside of those facilities. So we have enough examples from enough walks of life to make it very clear that if you are out and about, even if you are, unfortunately, even if you are vaccinated, we still want you to exercise prudence, not only for yourself, but mainly for other people, and wear your mask.
We also heard today that D.C. Ward 8 council member Trayon White has tested positive for COVID-19. Again, we are seeing some high-profile people who are not immune to this virus. We don't know whether it's Delta. We don't know whether it's Omicron. From all reporting, he is in good health under the circumstances. But I just find it fascinating that we have seen this huge turn just this week. Prince George's County, for example, moving so fast from three schools on Tuesday to literally going back to virtual learning starting on Monday. To what do you attribute this swift surge?
Let's go through it in order. Number one, the most important factor is that because there are such a large number of people who have been so adamantly refusing to be vaccinated, and a significantly large number of people who have been adamantly refusing to wear masks as advised. This virus has hung around, and the longer it hangs around, the better able it is to mutate to other forms. So number one, this is fundamentally at the feet of those who have decided not to be vaccinated, who have allowed this thing to percolate and then have time to migrate to other forms. Number two is the migration to and the mutation to other forms. And so we are seeing now the Delta variant, which has been so strong in causing significant illness, hospitalization, and death. And now it is being overtaken by Omicron. Omicron is the third factor. And what's happening with Omicron is that it has the ability to evade our immune systems. Even those who had been pre-infected, this virus mutation can now overcome the antibodies from the previous infection. And it is also good at evading much of the vaccine antibodies that have been produced. The good news and the important news is, from all the data that we have available as of tonight, that the booster shot on top of the fully dosing does seem to protect from significant illness, hospitalization, and death. And so that is the good news. But those are the reasons why we are seeing what we are seeing. Oh, and of course, last, we have to just keep reminding people that that the holiday season, we predicted it. I said it on your show before Thanksgiving. We predicted it on your airway, that people were going to unfortunately relax their vigil during the holiday, during Thanksgiving, and that would mean that cases would go up. And we certainly are seeing a bump because of the Thanksgiving holidays, and that makes me very concerned about the Christmas holiday coming up.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a COVID-19 update. We have seen a huge surge, not just this week, but just over the past 24 hours in COVID-19 infections. We have seen hospital occupancy rates go up. We've seen long lines across the country for testing sites go up. We have seen a change in professional sports schedules begin to change. What is happening with COVID-19 infections? What is going on? Why is this happening so quickly? We're trying to answer these questions, trying to put these things in perspective as best as we can with Dr. Reed Tuckson, the co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. If you have a comment, if you have questions, please, this is the time to get the information that you need to make the best decisions that you can as it relates to the health and welfare of you and your family. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Indy, I believe it is, calling from Maryland. Indy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you. Good evening and happy holiday to the both of you.
Thank you so much.
Doctor, I'm in 100% agreement with the first two, and that is vaccine and mask mandate. Well, not mandate. I mean, take that word out of it, just wearing your mask. I think that's the most crucial thing. And I think that these were the same messages that were sent initially, well, not initially, but at some point once we knew last year, 2020, when COVID-19 first became the pandemic, or the pandemic first started, people wearing masks. I mean, I'm out and about holiday shopping. People are not wearing masks. We were in a store just a few moments ago, and someone walked in and didn't wear the mask. And the young lady said, the store attendant said, could you please put on your mask to the person who didn't have it on? And the person just got an attitude. So I think a lot of it is individuals and how they perceive what's going on around them in terms of just life in general. Practicing wearing your mask, washing your hands, knowing your environment. And the a fearful thing for me and my family is going to events where people are just, it's just not them. And until it is you, then I guess you don't get the message. And that's pretty much what I have to say. Wear your masks, if you want to get a vaccine, get it. If you don't want to get a vaccine, wear your mask. Keep yourself safe so that you can keep other people safe as well.
Yeah. Indy, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is a COVID-19 update. We are talking about this recent surge in infections. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Keith calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Keith. What's on your mind?
Hello. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
If I'm good. You can't get a booster if you're at the age of 14 and you had the Pfizer.
The recommendations for boosters, I know, are at least 16 and up. I've got to go back. You've caught me off guard, but at the break, I'll make sure I quickly do a check to see whether or not you can get this down to 14. I just don't remember whether it goes from down as low as 14 or stops at 16. It's a great question to answer in just a minute.
We tried, and it didn't. They wouldn't let us even schedule it. So
yeah, okay, well,
even if you find out, I had another question, though. Is the child still safe with just the Pfizer and not getting the booster?
The answer is we want the your child to get the booster, but let's make sure. Of course, it takes a good while, you know, after you've had the second dose, 6 months. So it won't be possible for many of those children because they've just kind of got the approval, and most of our kids are just getting vaccinated. The key thing I would say to you, sir, is make sure that your child, after the time period is up between the first and second dose, depending on which medicine, which vaccine your kid gets, make sure they get the second dose. That is the key thing here. Get the second dose. And then I would say that as you go through the holiday period and your child is around older people or people who are immunocompromised, I would suggest that the family still go in and wear your mask this particular holiday season. Things are so uncertain. And the risks are so high now that I would just sort of say that even though we wanted to have a holiday season where you didn't have to wear a mask at all if you were fully immunized and boosted, now I think we probably want to just be acting out of an abundance of caution. At least that's what I'm going to do with my family holiday.
Yeah. Okay, I appreciate the advice. Have a safe holiday.
You too,
Keith.
Thanks
for your question.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a COVID-19 update. We've had a very serious surge in infections, not only in the DMV, but across the country. And we've seen some last-minute changes in the way governmental agencies are reacting to this surge. So we want to get the information out to you as best as we can. Of course, for example, Prince George's County Schools going to virtual learning starting on Monday. They just made that announcement today. Prince George's County Schools going to virtual learning starting on Monday and will continue until at least the 18th of January. Let me go to Tony. Tony calling from Columbia. Tony, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I got both shots and a booster. Mm. Now, there's a pill that helps fight COVID also. Is that too much, or what's the information on that if you got both shots and a booster?
That's a really good question because that the pill information is really new, Dr. Tuckson.
It really is. And by the way, for our previous caller, he is absolutely correct. And I just wanted to make sure that that nothing new had occurred around boosters for kids below the age of 16. It's still the 16 is the cutoff. So we were correct on that. In terms of the pill, it is still being has not been evaluated yet by the FDA. So it is, still has work to do to be fully evaluated. But what it gets at is that if you the theory, the thought, the hope, the expectation is that if you become symptomatic and positive for COVID, that you would be able to take this pill, which is an antiviral pill, which will help decrease the chances of you getting severely ill and needing to be hospitalized and perhaps dying. There are two of those pills that are coming into review, one by Pfizer and one by Merck. The point that is important that the caller makes, and I want to be very clear about it, is that he mentions it after you have gotten your regular vaccine and your booster, and then if you become ill, he's off looking at the stance, well, maybe he might be able to benefit from an antiviral. Some people are thinking that they will just forego vaccination at all, wait till they get sick, and then put their hopes on a magic pill. That would be the equivalent of running into a bonfire and then hoping that there's a really good salve to cure the burn. Don't get burned in the first place.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Tony, thank you so very much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a COVID-19 update. We're trying to get the latest information to you regarding a surge that we have seen over the past several days. And of course, winter starts next week. And so we certainly do anticipate some unfortunate changes coming to not only the DMV, but across the nation. So I want to make sure that we have as much information coming to you as possible. Teresa calling from D.C., we're going to be talking to you shortly. Also, Cheryl calling from Fredericksburg, we're going to be talking to you. If the lines are busy, please keep trying to get through. We're going to be taking your phone calls all the way up until 8 o'clock at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go to the break, I do have something I need to share with you. I learned today that I lost a friend to COVID-19. The educator, poet, author Yvonne Brown. She died last month. I was a little upset because I hadn't heard from Yvonne, and we used to talk a lot. We used to text a lot. She was a wonderful, spirited person, just goofy and silly and loud and colorful. And she loved photo meetups and was so focused on her health. And for years, she was overweight and she had lost 100 pounds the good old fashioned way, eating right and exercising. But Yvonne didn't believe in the vaccine. She was a conspiracy theorist. And I used to fuss with her about it, get the vaccine. And she wouldn't do it. Damn COVID, it's taken everything away. Yvonne Brown, we're going to miss you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a bit. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues in a few seconds on SiriusXM and 96.3 HD2, the app. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are having a last-minute COVID-19 update. I say last-minute because we had some other plans to kind of lighten the load a little bit, you know, end of the week, going into a weekend. But we could not responsibly talk about something fun because the reality is that COVID-19 is real. It's a very serious issue. And we're losing people. Infection rates are high. Hospitals are starting to fill up again. It looks like we're going backwards right now. And these are the things that we need to talk about. We need to talk about the vaccine. We need to talk about infections. We need to talk about masks. We need to talk about the fact that things are beginning to change. Schools are closing. The fun stuff is starting to shut down. Broadway lights are out again. A whole lot of things are changing. And we need to talk about what you need to do to stay safe. Very serious and important conversation, of course, with Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. If you have a comment or a question, and I'm sure you have lots of questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Teresa calling from D.C. Teresa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm just calling because I'm curious to know. I'm pretty sure there are other, you know, things that we can do that also keep the air clean as far as the aircraft being in the air. I'm sure that there's some type of disinfectant spray that we could spray maybe every 3 weeks, maybe every 6 weeks.
it could be just a solution that I have personally, but I'm a cleaner, so I'm just trying to figure out, you know, if that's even an option.
Teresa, I'm so glad that you called, and let's go back over quickly the fundamentals. The fundamentals are get vaccinated. Number two is wear your mask. And for the previous caller, I want to make sure we also emphasize, even if you, if you are one of those people who are virulently anti-vaccine, which mm-hmm. is unfortunate and tragic, you need to make sure you are the number one mask wearer in the universe. Any anti-vaxxer had better doggone be the best mask wearer in the universe. Number three is physical distancing, making sure that we keep separation from each other, because we know how this virus spreads by through our mouth and speaking, laughing, breathing out. We push forward this invisible effluent that comes out of our mouth to others. And then number four is washing our hands and using sanitizers regularly. So you are right on the money. You've hit the fourth of the four most important things, is to continue to wash our hands regularly. As far as the aircraft is concerned, that's one of the places where actually the air system is very well controlled. Airplanes have very effective systems for air handling, but even with those very effective systems, you note that the rule is you wear your mask unless for those few seconds you have to put something in your mouth, then you put that mask back on. But remember the four principles. They are very simple. We all know them, but we have to do them.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Teresa, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Cheryl calling from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Cheryl, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. My husband and I both in March got the Johnson & Johnson. That was what was offered to us on the very first day that it came in our area. And I just never felt real comfortable with that. So I got the Moderna booster. I want to know, do I need to get something else? Now, he, in fact, got a breakthrough COVID, and he had to have the drip. Went to the hospital, got the drip. Now, and then he got the booster. So, but I only had the Johnson & Johnson and the Moderna booster. Should I get something else? Of course I'm doing the mask. And in fact, I don't work, so I didn't go out the house for months. But he does. He works. And so I just want to know if there's what, because I'm not hearing a whole lot about what to do with that Johnson & Johnson one.
Good. This is a very good question. You've got a couple of points in there. Let's take them apart very fast. Number one, it is a good thing that you got the booster. That is the right thing to do, and you don't need, and there's no more you can do on your vaccination. Once you've gotten that booster on top of your J&J vaccine, then you did the right thing, and that was the way to go. As far as your husband getting the drip, I just want to come back to that, because an earlier caller had a very good point around and a question to ask about where were we on the pill, the antiviral pill that you would use after infection.
Dr. Tuckson, what is the drip?
That's where I'm going now. Right. So what I didn't have a chance to say then, Harold, and I'm glad you brought me back to it, is that we do have something called monoclonal antibodies. Fancy way of saying that these are antibodies that have been harvested and made to be targeting specifically at the COVID virus. And so the issue with that, with the monoclonal antibody treatment, which you would get after you were sick, and if you were in a high-risk category for getting very sick, you would have an intravenous line put in you, and that's the way that the monoclonal antibodies are administered, through an IV. The reason that the new pill has such promise, and the reason why so many of us are hoping that the data will show that it does what it says it will do, is it's a pill, which of course makes it so much easier to use and so much more efficient in being able to get it to people in need. So that's what that's the difference between the two. One is an IV and one is a pill, and we hope the pill will be available soon and that it will prove to work.
But may I say one more thing?
Sure.
My husband, because he had gotten the first vaccination, did not get really, really ill. And so I want to just push that. I want to push it to our community and just let them know, you know, he could have gotten a whole lot sicker, I believe, had he not gotten some kind of vaccination in the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Harold. Maybe we can have her as our co-host every program.
Well, I'm just glad that he is with us, with you, during this holiday season, and just with us, with you, period.
Yes, yes.
And because I think that is certainly a valuable lesson for those who are questioning, you know, the process. And so certainly, you know, Cheryl, thank you so much for sharing with us. One thing I did want to thank you for your phone call, Cheryl. One thing I did want you to speak on, particularly as it relates to the Johnson & Johnson, as you know, the CDC panel and also the head of the CDC was recommending Pfizer and Moderna over J&J because of the rare but critical issue regarding blood clots. Now, Cheryl was saying that she and her husband received the J&J vaccination back in March. We are now in December. I'm not a physician. You are. So I need you, if you can, Dr. Tuckson, speak on, you know, where Cheryl and her husband may be regarding that now in December. Are they out of the woods as far as any risk factor?
I think absolutely they are out of the woods for any risk factor around blood clots. And let's also put the blood clot issue in perspective.
Sure.
We're still talking about a very small number in the 50s of people who have had an issue with blood clots. And remember also that the COVID virus itself causes blood clots. And so we have to realize that when we think about the risk of the vaccine, it is not a risk of the vaccine against zero. It's a risk of the vaccine against the clot that the virus causes itself. That being said, we are not seeing the J&J vaccine being as effective right now either at handling Omicron or even the Delta, that it's not proving to be as effective as the Pfizer or the Moderna. And so when you put all of that together, the risk-benefit ratio is not strong enough when you compare the J&J against Pfizer and Moderna. That's why people are moving to Pfizer and Moderna. And that is why if you have J&J, you should go ahead and get a booster. And the booster you will get will be a booster of either the Pfizer or the Moderna. And it is, by the way, safe to mix the two. It is okay.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Cecilia calling from Bethesda. Thanks for calling, Cecilia. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I'm mainly calling because I just have a concern that doctors are not also pushing building your immune system for the vax and the unvax. Because I've had two people, one gentleman fully vaccinated who passed away. He had no underlying condition. I had another friend of mine that's a female, 40 years old, fully vaxxed and a booster. But she, because of where she worked, she was eligible to get the booster, and she passed away. No underlying conditions. So we also need to emphasize building the immune system, whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed. And what we're seeing here now is that the majority of the people, and one of the reasons Fauci had everyone to mask back up, was because of the numbers in Massachusetts where 74% of those that got COVID were vaccinated. So we need to tell the whole story and the whole picture that everyone still needs to build their immune system. Yes, mask up, but let's not act like the vaccine is the end-all, be-all. And the thing is that we have to go to the beginning. At first, the vaccine was supposed to it's going to protect you. You're not going to get it. Then it was, oh, no, you may get it, but you won't get hospitalized. Then it was, well, you may get hospitalized, but you won't die. So the thing is, we need to build our immune system, mask up, but be diligent in anything that we need to do to help. I'm not an anti-vaxxer in any way. But we need to emphasize building the immune system and that it is affecting the vaccinated. That's who the majority that is getting COVID now. We have to be truthful. It's factual.
Well, I wanted to just thank you very much. And by the way, every program that I have ever done with our good host, Harold, we have always talked about the importance of the immune system. And I would definitely agree with you. And the term that he and I have used in every one of these shows is a belt and suspenders approach, that you need to do both. And so absolutely, and keeping your immune system strong and also dealing with your other pre-existing conditions, people with diabetes, people with obesity, people with heart disease and lung disease, asthma. You need to be attending to the fundamentals of all of your predisposing illnesses while we are also doing the right thing in terms of vaccination and mask wearing and so forth. So I really do appreciate your point. I just want to make sure, though, that we're very clear about the things, the timeline that you've said. And I really respect the way you presented your question. Very intelligent, very informed. But when we first started out with what did we say about vaccines? We were always saying that it would help prevent us from getting severely ill or dying. That was always the point that we were making. I will say that what is also key here is that the reason that you are seeing places that have been heavily vaccinated are having challenges is because of the Omicron variant. And that's the thing that makes people so nervous about Omicron, is its ability, because it is now, this virus has been around, it is now mutated. The virus is very good at its number one job, which is to kill human beings. That's its job. That's what it's here for, to kill us. And so what you've got to remember is that the Omicron variant has an ability to escape a lot of our immune response. And that's why we're particularly worried, and that's why the boostering is so important, because the science and the data is telling us at this point in time, from looking at around the world, South Africa and the UK in particular, that having the boosters revs us up enough to be able to counteract some of that escape mechanism of the Omicron variant. And we hope that that will be the case going forward. And that it won't mutate any further and become skilled at even evading that.
And I also, I think, to the point that Cecilia is making, and again, Dr. Tuckson, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, that what we are dealing with now is not the same kind of issue that we were dealing with in the beginning, hence the term variant, as in variable. And it goes back to the thing that we've always talked about on this program from the very beginning, and likened it to, you know, the flu, where, you know, people often associated the flu with a cold, and it isn't. And that even when this first came through, that, you know, the flu was killing approximately 16,000 to 20,000 people a year. And even if you got the flu shot, there were some people who still died from the flu, children uh-huh. and seniors, because there were different strains of the flu, and not every year did a flu shot protect you from every strain. And so I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you've got the MD, Doc, I don't, but as a person who was getting flu shots and has been getting flu shots, you know, every year, there were times when I got the flu shot and still got the flu. And not because the flu shot gave me the flu, but because I was aware that some of the strains, some of the shots did not protect me from all strains.
Okay, but isn't that a flu shot and not a vaccine? And I also want to say the two people that succumbed, it was the Delta variant.
Vaccine.
Go ahead. These issues apart. So first of all, Harold, you are a informed and literate person, and you've hit it exactly, that like the flu, and the flu is a good analogy to use in this case, because it is my strong suspicion now that because of our inability to stomp the COVID out, like we have stomped out other things in the past, this is going to be what we call endemic instead of pandemic. Endemic meaning we'll be living with this for years to come. And I think it is very likely, I'm not, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but I think it is very likely that for at least the next several years, we will be seeing variations of this virus that will change and modify, and therefore our vaccines may well need to change and modify to keep up with the changes in the virus. And so that may well be it. By the way, I have to mention that what particularly concerns me tonight is the combination of Delta, Omicron, and the flu. All of them together are going to put a whammy, they already are, on our hospitals. And we are seeing around the country yet again people with heart attacks, people who have emergency surgery needs, people who are having strokes, not being able to find a bed in hospitals because they're all taken up by COVID cases. And in particular, I am also worried about the workers in the hospital because they are going to become ill just like the NFL players are getting infected and the NHL and the basketball people. So that the workers in the hospital, when they start getting sick, we're going to wind up putting a lot of pressure. So the take-home message, Harold, is to be like Harold. And that's my new slogan. Be like Harold. Get your flu shot. Get your flu shot. And by the way, folks, you can get your flu shot at the same time you get your COVID vaccine. They do not work against each other, and they're not incompatible. Get your flu shot and do your very best to try to turn this flu season off. Because, folks, you're going to want, you may be the person that needs that bed, and you're not going to be able to have it.
Yeah, and Cecilia, just for your information, shot, injection, same thing. Vaccine, that's flu vaccine, COVID vaccine, polio vaccine, that's the thing. But I got other phone calls. Thank you so much, Celia, for your phone call. Let's go 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Marcus calling from Clinton. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, yes. Cecilia touched on a lot of what I was going to bring up as a point. A lot of people that have been vaccinated are catching the COVID, whichever variant they're catching. And some dying, some just getting sick or whatever. But, and I was going to mention, when you were talking about the spread of it, with people that have been vaccinated catching it, they are also contributing to the spread of it. And a lot of people that have been vaccinated have not been getting tested. So for all of the time that when people first started getting vaccinated, they haven't been tested since then. So they may have been carrying or passing the virus along throughout this whole time. So now when you see it growing in numbers, that lack of testing for everybody overall, still, since we have it out here, is contributing just as much as the people that have not been vaccinated.
Let me take that part a little bit with you and explore it. And thank you very much for your point. Number one, let's be clear about the data that while there are certainly cases, and we are concerned of people who are fully vaccinated who have had breakthrough infections and some of them have died, the data is unequivocal that there is a significant major difference in severity of illness and death from people who were vaccinated versus those who are unvaccinated. And let's be clear, these are not co-equal populations. Even now, they is a very different. Number two, we have data that tells us that the people who have been vaccinated spread less virus to other people than unvaccinated people. So this is a little different than what your assumptions were. People who have been vaccinated are less spreaders than those who have been vaccinated. But number three point, I'm trying to remember, I didn't lose your last point. Oh gosh, I lost your last point, sir. I'm so sorry.
Well, I think what was the last point? I think he was talking about the testing.
Oh yes, I'm sorry. That was exactly right, sir. It was not. I would have to say, with all due respect, that probably is not a true statement. That people who have been vaccinated are also people who are in various. There are surveillance programs that public health departments are running all the time. And secondly, anyone who has been vaccinated, or people that have been vaccinated who have been gotten ill and are showing symptoms, those people are very often in the testing pool. That's why we have the information that starts to inform us about how the virus mutations are affecting people who are immunized. So the reason that we know what we know is because of testing. So it wouldn't quite be true to suggest that people who are vaccinated are not being tested. That is not a true statement.
And I will say one of the things that we are literally seeing this week now is a resurgence of testing, because we are now seeing a resurgence of infections. And this is the ironic part, if I may, Marcus. The Washington Post just reporting that there has been an appeals court decision, and this is one of the problems where the Biden administration now going back to court because they've been reinstated. You know, this back and forth between the Biden administration and businesses with employees of 100 or less, where they have to be either vaccinated or testing. And so the Biden administration now winning in court. And so it looks like there's a showdown that may very well see this whole testing and vaccination ending up in the Supreme Court. And so to that point, we are going to see this vaccination for small businesses, private businesses, and testing issue coming up. But go right ahead, please.
Now, with the amount of people that, I mean, now I move around the city quite a bit, and on nights like tonight and weekends, you'll see the younger generation in between 23 to 35. They're out at the new clubs and things that have been opening back up. And amongst those people who are filling the clubs and outside, they are vaccinated and unvaccinated. So if the vaccinated people are passing it on to the people that are unvaccinated out partying with them, that does increase the number.
Oh, sir, I don't disagree with you at all. And let me just be absolutely clear where we are in harmony. There is no daylight between us, sir. If you are, and we said this earlier in the show, if you are vaccinated and if you are not vaccinated, we are begging you, wear your mask when you are out and about with other people. It is your responsibility. Absolutely. That is the absolute guidance. And that is the guidance that I'm using with my family when we get together this holiday period with my 95-year-old mother. We're all vaccinated. We're all boosted. The kids, our kids are old enough, thank God, over 16 to get the booster. But we are still going to be having our masks on as we are around my 95-year-old mother, because we do not intend to give my mother the gift of COVID this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Marcus, thank you so much for your phone call. Be safe. 202-319-7810. Cynthia, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead, please.
Hi, yes. I'm Harold and Dr. Tuckson. Can you explain the difference between the antigen and the PCR test? Because I recently was tested and I was negative antigen, positive PCR. So, of course, you got to quarantine. But if one is better than the other, why not just use the one that's better at detecting whether or not you have COVID?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So PCR is a fancy term for polymerase chain reaction. This is a very sophisticated laboratory test that requires several days of work in the lab, and you don't get the results back immediately. It takes a little bit of time. And it is the most accurate test. The other tests are measuring the actual levels of the antigen that is developed in your body as a result of the infection. And those tests are the ones that are the more rapid tests. Now, the answer to trying to help people to understand which of those is better, there are so many of these antigen tests now, including a variety of home tests, where you can collect the specimen at home and send it to a lab, and then other home tests where you will get the results right away there at home. The home tests are not as good as the PCR, the polymerase chain reaction laboratory intense test. However, the other tests can be useful. They are useful in that they will at least give you a pretty good idea of whether or not you are actually infected with COVID or whether you're suffering from something else. It may be the flu or whatever. So the answer is that we have a role for all of these tests. And I think that it is important now, and if there's any failure of the Biden administration, I do believe it is that they have yet to do a good enough job of making available easily and affordable for poor people access to home-based testing. We need more of that. And also what you're seeing in the pharmacies is many of them are running out of tests. But I would sort of say that a good rule of thumb would be to try to get your home test done before you go to the gathering with grandma, just as an extra precaution. Will it be 100%? No. But at least it will give you a pretty good idea where you are.
Yeah. Cynthia, be safe. Thank you so much for your phone call. Well, Dr. Tuckson, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us on this really important day, very important week. And, you know, and by the way, I'm going to go get a test tomorrow. I feel fine, but hey, why not?
Good advice. Good guidance.
Yeah. Look, you be safe. Thanks again. I appreciate your time.
All right. Happy holidays to the audience.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah. Well, that's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, December 17th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.